Welcome to the Making Smart Decisions podcast, strategies for your financial future. Complex topics made simple and actionable, so when it comes to your money, you're making smart decisions. And now for the disclaimer. The following program is sponsored by JT Financial Group, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities offered through J.W. Cole Financial Incorporated, JWC member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through J.W. Cole Advisors Incorporated, JWCA. JT Financial Group and JWC, JWCA are unaffiliated entities. With decades of experience, here's your host, Josh Tirado.
You're listening to Making Smart Decisions with Josh Tirado. Today's topic is what questions to ask when you're interviewing a financial advisor. So essentially, I'm giving you the questions to ask when you're interviewing me. Here's what to ask me when I'm trying out for the job of being your advisor. I started this off because this is a very, very often asked question on Google. And if you Google what questions to ask an advisor, how you interview a potential advisor, money manager, there are a ton, an absolute ton out there. What I find interesting is most of them, especially at the top of the search, are very operational in nature. They're having you ask your advisor questions such as, what clearing firm are you using for the investments? What is this fee? What is that fee? What is the time frame to handle X, Y, or Z? How are you handling these options? But nowhere are they going into asking about, what is the person's investment philosophy? What value add does the firm offer? Do they have a unique value proposition? How often are they going to be in touch with you as a client? Are they going to be conducive to your needs or not? But rather than asking questions to form a relationship and to truly interview the person that you're going to be trusting with your money, they're asking things that are very operational, very basic in nature that I really don't think help you make a decision or gain a comfort level to work with that professional. The other issue I have with a number of questions or questionnaires out there is they give you the questions to ask, and then they don't tell you what the answer should be. So what good is the questionnaire if you ask your advisor all these questions, get the answers, and then have no point of reference if the answers are quote unquote good or bad or right for you and your needs? So what I'm going to attempt to do today is give you a number of what I think are valuable questions, my answers to those questions, and how it relates to you. Number one, are you a fiduciary? My answer is yes. And I think the answer should be unequivocally yes. Fiduciaries legally must put their clients' financial interests ahead of their own. And not all financial advisors are fiduciary. The last two people that have interviewed me to become their financial advisor, the number one question they asked me was, are you a fiduciary? In this day and age and moving forward, I think that answer has to be yes. Why would you hire a professional who wasn't legally required to put your interest ahead of their own? I mean, that's the whole reason. You need trust behind it, but I think that's the right step forward in starting that conversation. Are you a fiduciary? My answer is yes. I think the answer should be yes. Question two and question three roll into one another. So let me give you both questions and then tell you how those answers for most advisors will probably overlap. The next question is, how are you compensated for your services? And the follow-up question is, do you get paid by anyone other than your clients? So this goes into, there's a variety of ways advisors can be compensated. They can be compensated via commission. They can be fee only, where they're just charging you a fee to manage your money, or they're charging you a fee for the advice, the financial planning. Or in my case, I'm fee-based. I say fee-based because 90%, 80, 90% of my practice is based around the fees for managing money and the fees, first and foremost, for doing the financial planning for my clients. There are still some investment options out there that long-term are cheaper for you as the client to do on a commission basis than on a fee basis. And one of the big pushes right now in the compliance world related to my field is to try and make that a level playing field. That if you're charging a fee, at some point you stop the fee so the fee is equal to what the commission would be, or the commission structure is more in line with what a fee structure would be. And I think that is excellent. That's a great move forward, but there's still some investment strategies and some investments out there that just by the nature of how they're structured presently in 2020 are not offered on a fee platform. They're only offered in a commission format. The next question is, are you paid by anyone other than your clients? Again, that's what fits into, are you paid commissions by some company as opposed to the fee? So I really think these two questions go together. The other follow-up is, if you're paying a fee, what are the terms of the fee? You want to know, are you paying an hourly basis? Are they going to bill you every time you meet for the hours they spent with you and behind the scenes? Are you paying quarterly? Are you paying semi-annual? Are you paying annually? What is the structure? Does it fit with your needs and your budget? And most importantly, based on the fee you're paying, are you getting the services that you need and that you want for what you're paying? I don't need to have a discussion with you about value. You understand value. But oftentimes, you get what you pay for. It really, really does resonate, even in this industry. The next question is, what is your investment philosophy or approach? Now, I think this is an important question. I also think it's kind of a loaded question. As things change over time, your needs are going to change. Perhaps your advisor's philosophies are going to change. Not necessarily because they've had a change of heart, but they're adapting to the environment and what's going on around you. There's an old saying that everyone's strategy works right up until it doesn't. Mike Tyson often said everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. Things change. The world changes rapidly. So there's nothing wrong with adjusting your strategy. If anything, I think that's the smart move. But you do want to know what their basic philosophy and approach is. If someone's very aggressive and you're very conservative, you're not going to get along. It is not going to be a harmonious type practice. So ask them about their philosophy and approach, but understand that that can change over time. And as it changes, that's a conversation they should have with you. But don't be alarmed. Don't hold it against them if it's changing. It's probably changing for the right reasons. In my case, we've trademarked an approach that we call practical tactical. Practical part being is there's a core investment philosophy and a core of stable investment holdings that we view are the base of your strategy. It can be in different accounts. It can be in different investment products, different investment types, but we have a core. The tactical part is then the overlay. I liken it to adding seasoning to a soup. It doesn't take a whole lot to change the flavor and add a whole lot of taste to it. So our strategy is practical tactical. Some places use something similar. They refer to it as core and satellite. Some firms refer to it as just being properly diversified. It's all in how they structure it, but there should be some sort of philosophy. Next question. Do you specialize in certain types of clients? Now, while this is not necessary, it is really nice if you're in a particular situation in your financial journey in your life, or you work in a particular field or for a particular company, and that advisor specializes in that field, that company, or your individual needs. Now, I've run into some people, I've said to them, other advisors I've met, I said, oh, who is your ideal client? What markets do you serve? And they look at me and say something like, oh, I focus on serving women. I handle the female market. I'm like, okay, that's great. That's still the majority of the population of the country. So when I'm looking at this, I'm saying, are you doing financial planning for retirement? Are you doing financial planning for college? Are you just focused on managing investments? Are you doing a full plan for someone? For retirement planning, a lot of people focus on the accumulation phase. There are far fewer that focus on the distribution phase. Once you retire, making that money last for you as long as possible. So there's different specialties. So definitely ask what they specialize in, what type of clients they'd like to work with. For me, when I look at what type of clients I like to work with, are nice people, fun people. When I ask my clients for referrals or my clients give me referrals, they know to send somebody in that I'm going to enjoy working with. They know I'm not the guy that's calling somebody with a hot stock tip. They know I'm the person that's there, that's reliable, and we're doing sound planning. So find out what sort of people your potential advisor specializes in. This goes right into the next question. What services do you provide your clients? Well, depending on what services you provide, those services are just going to support the type of client or the specialty that you work in. Next question is, do you have any minimums? For me to work with your firm, do I need to bring over a certain level of assets or a certain amount of money to invest with you? This is especially popular if the firm is charging fees based on the level of assets you have with them. This is less popular, or the minimums can be reduced if you're doing holistic planning. So I'm doing a financial plan with someone. They're paying me for the time. to help sit down with them, review their goals and objectives, clarify them, and develop a plan to reach them. Then I give them advice on how to reach those goals. It has nothing to do with how much money they're giving me to manage. So there's a distinct difference there. Do I have a minimum? Does my firm have a hard minimum? No, we do not. However, on my website, you will see that we have a suggested level of household income, and we have a suggested minimum level of assets. That is simply because some of the more advanced planning techniques that we use do require a certain level of assets or income to qualify or to participate in them. So it is a little bit easier, and we can provide more value to the client if we're at certain levels, but we do not have a hard minimum. Next question, how often will we meet? Some people want to meet annual, semi-annual, quarterly. Some people want to have, and this flows right into the next one, how often will I hear from you, meaning the advisor, and how? So the meeting and how often will I hear from you kind of go hand in hand. Over the years, I've tried semi-annual, I've tried quarterly. Quarterly seems to be too often, and for people that are very busy, it's a lot to meet quarterly. Semi-annual is never quite enough to really review your money, only twice a year. So it might seem odd, but the trifecta is the ideal number of meetings for my clients that I've found over the past 20 years. So we will meet three times a year. Oftentimes, two of those are in person. One of those is virtual. They will receive regular emails from me, newsletters from me, phone calls if something's urgent, of course, or even text messages if something's urgent. And I encourage them to let me know whenever there's a major change in their life, at work, promotion, demotion, bonus, someone gets married, someone passes away, someone's born, relocation, whatever it is, I want them to reach out. So even though we have three formal meetings a year, the communication is ongoing. And that two-way communication is very important. So you can constantly adjust the plan and make those turn-by-turn directions and change it for the client to get the best possible outcome. Another question, why did your last client hire you? And that feeds right into the next question of, what do your clients like about working with you? I feel those are two sides of the same coin, because what the clients like is going to be the reason why they hired you. This is important, and this is the spot where the advisor can give you their mission statement, their value proposition, or whatever they think differentiates them from other advisors. In my case, the top three things that clients have resonated with when we've researched with the clients as to why they hired us is our focus. The three main focuses are first, education. First and foremost, we are educating them so that way they're comfortable, they sleep at night, they understand what we're doing. But second, the educational part is also for me. Constantly taking classes, constantly going to a different symposium, a different meeting, researching different investment products, researching different investment ideas, constantly trying to learn and bring the best. Now, the follow-up with that is we are never pushy. We are trying to introduce ideas. We're trying to add value. If the client's not comfortable with it, they're not comfortable with it. I only want things that align with their values when they're comfortable with. So we'll share ideas. If they don't want to do it, that is fine. We'll find another way to do it, or we'll just put it on the sidelines in perpetuity. But we're constantly trying to offer them the best of what's out there, and then let them make the decision if they're comfortable or not. And then third, I want to say we're here and we treat clients like family. It may not be the family that they were born into. It may be the family that they want to have, that they desire, but we treat the clients like family and we treat them very well. So what brings them in the door is the education on both sides, the ongoing ideas and options and strategies to constantly improve what they're doing, and then the being there for them and treating them like family. And I really hope that you get something similar to that when you speak to whatever advisor you're interviewing. Next question, how do you measure success with your clients? And here are a couple examples. Clients' ability to achieve their goals, how a client feels about their money, and how much money they've made or lost in the past year or over the years. You need to make sure that how the advisor views success is the same way you're viewing success, so the two of you are aligned. For me, it's about the clients achieving their goals and reaching milestones along the way that we know they're on pace to achieve their goals. Of course, the return on their money matters quite a bit. But again, this should not be looked at in a small part or in a fishbowl, because some If a client comes to me and says, for instance, what was the return on this investment in the last quarter? Well, that investment strategy might not have performed well over the last quarter, but might not have been designed to. That investment strategy might have worked really, really well over the past 3 or 4 years, but the last quarter or two economically, that strategy was not set up for success. So I advise that if you're looking at the returns on the money, it should be a portion of the overall value that the advisor brings, but look at it more long-term, a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, and go through a couple economic cycles, because the short-term, for better or worse, can be very, very misleading. The experience also comes into play there. Have they been through downturns? Have they been through recessions? Have they been through depressions? Have they been through a pandemic? How have they helped guide their clients? So you also have that level of not just how are they viewing success, but again, that feeds into the other question of how often are they in touch with you? Are their goals aligned with yours? The next is, are there any conflicts of interest I should be aware of? For instance, and this was cited in an article as an example of a conflict of interest, that one advisor might charge a higher fee for a certain service than another advisor. Well, each advisor has different strengths and weaknesses and sets the practice up the way they want. They might be charging more than a different advisor because they're actually much better at that service or that specialty. They might be charging more because they're located in an expensive metropolitan area as opposed to a very rural area. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but that could be considered a conflict of interest. So, a fiduciary has to give you a copy of certain disclosure documents, and it will list if there's any conflicts. And if there are any, how they address them, how they avoid them. Next question is, how does your team work together to work with me? And that feeds in the next one of, will you coordinate your advice with my tax situation? How our team works with the client, and especially when it comes to tax advice, is we are open to working with all of the client's professionals. We would ideally like to be the leader of the financial team and help to organize things. But quite often the client already has a CPA in place. The client already has an attorney in place. The client oftentimes already has a banking relationship in place. And we need to work with all of them to achieve the ultimate goal. So coordinating with the other professionals in their lives is absolutely paramount. And we incorporate all members of the team. If they don't have a certain member, they don't have an accountant, or they don't have an attorney, we can help them in finding one. But we definitely want to have an open line of communication with all other professionals. So when it comes to how do you coordinate their tax situation and other things, we work with all those other advisors. Final question is, what happens next? So you're having the meeting with the advisor and you like him or her. And for instance, in my firm, we do an introductory call. Some people call it a discovery meeting. Some people call it a right fit meeting. Some people call it an introductory meeting. But it's a 20 to 30 minute phone conversation first. I don't ask that they send over statements or any personal information. And we have a conversation about whether or not we're a good fit and if we'd like to work with one another. And we take it from there. And from there, the advisor should be able to list next steps. Ideally, there's a timeline, but they can list, okay, here's what we're going to cover in our next meeting, our meeting after that. Here's when we'll sign some documents. Here's when everything will be set up. Here's when we can review it together to make sure you're comfortable. But they should be able to give you what the experience is going to look like and the timeline you can follow. And that is the most comprehensive list of questions I was able to find that I think gives you some real insight as to whether or not the relationship will be successful and whether or not you're making a smart decision in hiring that advisor.
Thanks for listening to Making Smart Decisions with Josh Dorado. For more information and show notes, visit our website at jtfinancialgroup.com. Email a question or schedule an appointment. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/aguideforyourjourney. The preceding program is sponsored by JT Financial Group, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities offered through J.W. Cole, financial member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through J.W. Cole Advisors, J.T. Financial Group, and J.W. Cole Financial. And J.W. Cole Advisors are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by J.T. Financial Group should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal. Any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by a person for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax penalties that may be imposed on such person, and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. JT Financial Group is not providing legal or tax advice. Nothing should be construed as solicitation or an offer to buy securities.